Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Our guest this afternoon believes we're on the road from diversity television to omnicultural television. How far down this road? How soon will we go further? We'll get some answers from Civic Entertainment Group Chief Cultural Officer Linda Ong when she joins me next. Also ahead, Orange is the Final Black, our classic trivia question, and some thoughts on ABC's unique special live before a studio audience tonight. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in this half hour. Delighted to have you with us on this midweek afternoon. Second 3 episodes this week for the program all about television. 75 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Another beautiful day. And this looks like a gorgeous week before Memorial Day holiday weekend. We hope you're having a great time wherever you are listening, and we invite you to be part of the program. We've got a good guest for you to interact with. So be interactive with us. Get the phone call going at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Numbers good anyway, you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And our chat room is starting to get busy. We already have 2 people already in the room. That room is SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So be in the room, and you can be interactive with us. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio or speaker screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Linda Ong will be live with us here in the Big Apple after these news note quickies. Season 7 of Orange the New Black, the final one for this groundbreaking dramedy, will premiere on Netflix July 26th. Warner Brothers Television has a new co-presidency in place today, Susan Rogner and Brett Park. They will continue as co-presidents of Warner Horizon TV's scripted division that makes shows for cable and for streaming services that are available on smart TV sets and smart devices. And a Tiger Woods scripted bio miniseries is in formulation at Wheelhouse Entertainment. The project is based on the best-selling book co-written by Jeff Bennett and 60 Minutes correspondent Armand Katayan last year. By the way, Bennett has an agreement with Wheelhouse to adapt some of his other nonfiction work for scripted and unscripted programming there. And that is news notes for today. Nearly 2 years ago, we celebrated our 10th anniversary of this program. I mentioned that we are living in 3 eras of television: the era of scripted and unscripted plentiful television, the era of smart TV sets and smart TV devices, smart TV, and equally important, maybe more, the era of diverse television. Well, our guest today, who has been with us before, believes that we're not only in that era, big in that area of diverse television, but we're actually en route to a new, bigger era, the era of omnicultural television. Joining me here in New York, our very good friend and Chief Cultural Officer at Civic Entertainment Group, the former first head of marketing at Oxygen, Linda Ong. Linda, great to have you back here.
Thank you, Simon. Always nice to talk to you.
So you have used the term omnicultural TV before. Why do you think that, rather than diverse TV, is where we are headed?
Well, omniculturalism is the fourth wave of diversity, and so it's really important to understand that diversity is not a singular term, but it's been very contextualized by the eras in which it existed. So if you look at the history of diversity in this country, essentially, you know, you start with no diversity, which is a monoculture or homogeneity, before there's an acknowledgement that there are different kinds of cultures in the world. But once, you know, telecommunication and travel and other boundaries, literal or figurative, opened up, there was an awareness that there were other kinds of people in the world. And in this country, it was most marked by the first era of diversity, which is called segregation. Segregation, as you know, is the physical, economic, racial, geographic separation of people that are different than the majority group in culture, which traditionally in this country has been white, male, Christian, heteronormative, and patriarchal. But you know, in this country, slavery was obviously sort of the strongest example of segregation from a national standpoint. But that really is about the majority group in power is looking at people that are others or different than them as inferior or lesser rights, lesser status. And while, you know, in this country we largely feel that we're kind of past that, especially given the civil rights era, there's still a lot of places where segregation exists. So that is one kind of diversity. Should I keep going or do you have any questions? Because there's two other kinds.
Well, where do you, just to speed things up a little bit, where do you think we are at along this road, especially now that, since we had you last, a number of things have happened. One is we're seeing women of color, people of color form their own production companies at a faster rate. We are now seeing the Netflixes, the Hulus, the Amazons, studios, Warner Brothers, Lionsgate, offering multi-series or multi-year deals. The likes of Shonda Rhimes, Kenya Barris, Octavia Spencer, Regina King, you name the person of color, the woman of color, they're getting a deal, and a very good deal at that. And third, we're even seeing newcomers to television who are people of color get series off the bat. The latest example being Sylvia Nine, who was on this program Monday, a person of color from Bushwick, Brooklyn, who's now doing a series on Netflix called It's Bruno, Man is Dog Tale, shot in Bushwick, the Bushwick section of Brooklyn, and just got off that a deal to do a hip-hop musical film for Netflix.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, and I'll fast forward, but I think that, you know, part of what's going on right now is a reaction to a lot of cultural pressure to be more inclusive. But the one thing that it's really important to understand is that diversity is not just about race. Diversity includes all kinds of difference. And I'll just quickly say the second wave of diversity was assimilation. Third wave of diversity is what's called multiculturalism. And multiculturalism was just about including and dividing people, sorry, not including, but dividing people based on their race and their characteristics. So omniculturalism doesn't divide. It actually assumes that everybody is different, and that's uniting everybody by human values. And so what's happening right now is Hollywood is racing out to find all kinds of people of all different colors, which is fantastic. But what the omniculturalism point of view is, which is really the fourth wave of diversity, is that any kind of difference is something we should be including. And diversity is about hearing and seeing people and voices that are very different than the majority group in power. So that can be people who have difference of gender, as we know. We see a lot of women. But it's also people with different ability, different kinds of body types, different kinds of physical manifestations, but it can also be generational. It could be political. It could be religious. It can be any kind of affinity. And really accepting that there's no specific kind of status, economic or otherwise, that makes people one person better than another is truly about looking at equality. So what I would urge the television business is to do, and what I speak to a lot of my clients and other people about, is really looking beyond race and looking at everybody as a unicorn, as very unique and a product of a set of intersections that is really about just welcoming difference in every aspect of our lives.
We have somebody in our chat room, SonApple04, my name. Thanks for coming aboard. If you have a question or comment for Linda, get it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. So how far down this road are we going? And it's interesting that you mentioned that there's a lot more types of situations involved here. For example, one of the stories we recently had is the story about In the Dark, the show on the CW dealing with a blind person. And the National Foundation for the Blind is very upset about the show because a blind actress was not the main character, was not the star, but a non-blind actress was. Even though, according to Queen Kinsbury, who was the creator of the program, there was a blind writer on the staff, there was a blind actress who was a supporting actress. The show was based on, in fact, a situation involving someone who was blind that approached the CW as, for a public service type of campaign. And yet, it's a situation where maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, this would not have happened. It would not have been a thought. But now, there seems to be the situation of if you have a character, particularly a main character, who is blind, who is in a wheelchair, whatever, you've got to have an actor or actress in that role, in that situation.
Yeah, well, it's a very, it's tricky, right? I mean, Bryan Cranston got a lot of heat for playing someone who was paralyzed in a wheelchair and obviously being a fully abled actor. So it happens all the time. I think there's not a, probably a one, it's not a binary answer. It's probably, there's a lot of logic on both sides, but I think fundamentally, what we're in right now is an era where authenticity is really prized, and, you know, a lot because of social media and a lot because we see that there are all these voices that haven't had a chance to be seen in the past. I just was at a conference the other day where Marlene Matlin was talking about the very same thing, that people being cast as deaf actors where there are deaf actors who could play deaf actors. So I think part of the challenge is, you know, what are the considerations of the film or the TV show? Who is the best, you know, who or what is the best person to play that role? I mean, I think there's an interesting flip of this conversation, which is if you look at a show like Killing Eve, which very successfully stars Sandra Oh as a, you know, essentially a MI6 type person, that role was not written as an Asian woman. That role was written as a woman. So the fact that she's Asian is incidental, and yet she was the best person for the part. So it works both ways.
You're hearing Linda Ahm. She's cultural officer of Pacific Entertainment Group. We'll talk to you about what she's doing in that agency in a little bit. And she joins us live from New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appel with you live from New York. Happy you're with us on this special Wednesday edition of the program All About Television. Now in its 10th year on Blog Talk Radio and 12th year overall. If you have a question or comment for our guest, make the phone ring 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, we will have the producer of an upcoming 30 for 30 episode called Qualified. It was many moons ago that Janet Guthrie became the first woman to qualify for the Indianapolis 500. That race, by the way, will be moving from ABC, its longtime home, to NBC this Memorial Day weekend. Well, where is Janet Guthrie now? And what has happened since she made that breakthrough? Well, Qualified is all about that, and Carolyn Waterloo, the producer, will be with us as our lead guest. And then, believe it or not, earlier this month in Los Angeles, there was a special festival called the Omnicultural TV Festival, where pilots involving omnicultural situations were given a shot. Kiki Melendez, the organizer of the conference with NAPI, will be my guest Friday. 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Linda, what are you doing with Civic Entertainment Group? What companies are you dealing with?
Well, some of them I can't talk about because they're top secret, but really we're talking about sort of all the major players, both in the linear and the streaming world. And a lot of the work that we do is really helping them understand how to fine-tune or create product or brands that are culturally relevant. And we really sit at the intersection of brand strategy and cultural insight. So we're really about helping understand what the view of culture looks like from the point of view of the brand, and then helping creators and marketers calibrate their product or messaging to be really in tune with the audiences that they want to reach.
Mm-hmm. The Peabody Awards were held Saturday night here in New York, and I had a chance to, on the red carpet, meet Billy Porter, who a lot of people think will be up for an Emmy Award for his role in Pose. And I asked him, what was the most important thing that the series did? And he said, without any hesitation, breaking down the doors in terms of having transgender people represented, people in the gay and lesbian community represented, on both sides of the camera. And it seems that we are seeing more and more of that barrier coming down. Plus, we're also seeing more women and women of color in particular get the chance to direct. Ava DuVernay, who was profiled in the Hollywood Reporter this morning, has her own production company. She now has a major deal to do television with Warner Brothers. She has a new miniseries, When They See Us, about the Central Park Five, coming out at the end of the month on Netflix. And I hear, by the way, it's sensational. Could be up for an Emmy Award for Best Miniseries, maybe a Peabody next year. And also, she has made it a habit to make sure that in her programs, like Queen Sugar, that the majority of people who direct her shows are women and women of color. And every single year, they have more women doing it, and the women who've done the season before have gotten jobs elsewhere in television. And I'm curious, you know, if you're seeing that kind of breakthrough be more spread out throughout the TV industry as opposed to being isolated, this show here, this show there.
Yeah, well, you know, we're hearing talk of people actually including inclusion riders in their deals because it really is a very important priority for businesses to have right now, not just Hollywood, but to really make it a priority to include different voices. And I think that, you know, for me, I'm personally excited to see when it starts breaking down boundaries beyond race and gender. But, you know, you're seeing amazing characters like Billy Porter or you see Asia Kate Dillon on Billions. You're seeing people on, I can't remember the guy's name, sorry, on Special on Netflix, the kid with cerebral palsy. You know, there's a lot of different opportunities for voices who are very talented but never really got a chance because they weren't conventional talent to have these kinds of shows. So it's a really exciting time for television, and I think women and people of color, which is an important barrier to break, but I think that will just continue to break ground for other marginalized groups.
Mm-hmm. How are we know we've said this before on this program that diversity or getting on a major on the cultural television environment is not a silver bullet thing. It's not one thing that fits all. You have to go at a lot of levels. You got to go at the program level, the network level, the studio level, the channel level, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what I'm sensing, though, is that more individual producers are taking both white and people of color, are taking it upon themselves to get more women and people of color into the mix, whether it's a Ryan Murphy, whether it's a Glenn Mazzara, whether it's an Ava DuVernay. It seems that there is at least more of an understanding of if we're going to really move, one of the things we have to do is we've got to give more people the opportunity to write and direct.
Yeah, 100%. Well, one of the shows that I actually think that doesn't get any real buzz about being very, very inclusive is Better Things on FX. And Pamela Adlon has a very omnicultural view of the world in that she is including different people from different kinds of cultures and also the fact that she's an older woman, which is not something that we've really celebrated on television, but really dealing with a lot of issues that many women today are facing and doing it in a way which is realistic and heartbreaking and funny and warm and you know, really great television on top of all that. So I think it's also important to understand or to celebrate the people that are not necessarily getting celebrated for doing this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. We also point out, too, that there's been a lot of advancement in the area of unscripted television. Programs like I Am Jazz on TLC, programs like, more recently, The Employables on A&E that deals with people with Tourette's syndrome who are trying to find jobs in society, or Born This Way, which started a couple of years ago, dealing with autism.
Yep.
That in the unscripted field, there's also, in addition to diversity in terms of color or gender background, it's also diversity in terms of people who some might consider disabled who really can be able under great circumstances.
Well, I think, you know, this is a really great thing that's happening in culture overall, not just in television. You see in the fashion world that accessibility is really an important focus for a lot of very forward-leaning designers. And the Cooper Hewitt Museum in New York last year also had a whole exhibit dedicated to industrial design enabling accessibility, which felt very mainstream. So what we're really seeing is a paradigm shift in the way that society views people who are different than the majority and not marginalizing them or making them others or outcasts anymore, but really understanding that they bring real value to the party. And I think back to your point about diversity taking place on every point of the production process. I think, you know, when I talk to people who have been successful at their organizations in really creating a more diverse environment, you know, the number one thing people say is it starts with the executive ranks. And I think when you look at the television business, the executive ranks still do not look very diverse, even though people have made great efforts. And so ultimately, you know, that will be the true test, not just the product that people are putting out, but also who's making the decisions.
Yeah. And I do want to mention, for those who missed the news note, that we now have a new co-president of Warner Brothers Television, who is a woman, that's Susan Robner, with Brett Paul, who, by the way, has been will also continue to be in charge of Warner Horizons' scripted TV unit. We now have a society that has really embraced the smart television set and the smart TV device, from Amazon Fire to Google Chromecast. And you can make the argument that this is how people are watching Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and a whole bunch of services that are using smart sets and devices to be their main way to get to viewers or their exclusive way to get to viewers. How would you judge what Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera, have done in terms of advancing omniculturalism?
Well, I think the streaming services have done a great job. It's not to say that some of the linear networks haven't also made strides, but I think the streaming services, number one, most of them are not as dependent on advertiser revenue as some of the ad-supported networks, and so they are less driven by feeding an 18 to 49 upscale demographic, and so they can take more chances. It's not to say that, you know, I think it's a fallacy to think that only diverse people watch diverse content. And, you know, it's been proven out time and time again in an era of prestige television that the personal is very universal. And I think that what you're seeing is really with the streamers a real appetite to tell much more personal stories. And they're resonating. And, you know, everyone else is taking those cues.
Linda Ong is our guest this afternoon on the Margaret Show Live. We've had her on before. She is now the chief cultural officer at Savannah Entertainment Group. At one point, she was the original head of marketing for Oxygen, way, way back when. And she's with us live from New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you, live from the Big Apple as well, 75 degrees at the top of the hour. A few more minutes with Linda. So if you have a question or comment for her, bring it in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple0419. We won't be with you next Monday, as we usually are, because Memorial Day holiday weekend, but we will be with you on Tuesday. And joining us will be the executive producer of a new series on Facebook Watch called Family Style from the Stage 13 folks at Warner Brothers. He is the renowned chef Philip Chang. He's also executive producing the show. And we'll also have the vice president of scripted development at Stage 13, Sherry Sakuro. So that's coming up on Tuesday. And next Friday, we will have the creator and executive producer of the brand-new Renee Zellweger series for Netflix, What/If, Mike Kelly. He will probably be our lead guest. Plus, we'll find out what's going on in the world of digital TV, smart TV, and more from the new senior reporter at Cheddar, formerly CNBC, Michelle Castillo. That's all coming up next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. So join us and be involved, too. We want to hear from you. Linda, we have coming up in the next year a bunch of new services that will use smart TV sets and devices as their lead way to get to viewers. Services like Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, the new to-be-named service from Warner Media, the new to-be-named service from Comcast NBC Universal, Walmart, Vudu Video On Demand Service, Echo, the interactive TV channel that they're working on as well. Maybe Costco will be a player, other players we don't know about. What's your sense about what will all of these services individually and collectively make on the move toward omniculturalism?
Well, I think that I would imagine, I don't have any inside intel, but I would imagine that they understand that there is a huge appetite for diverse and unique and very personal stories and storytelling. And, you know, it's sort of a race to the top in that sense, in that it's about finding both, amazing talent of color and different ability, et cetera, and difference that wants to tell different kinds of stories, but also discovering new talent. And that's a huge principle of omniculturalism, is elevating marginalized and outcast voices. So it's a great opportunity for talent scouting for all of these services, and it will help them really differentiate if they can discover and nurture their own talent.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, we have more and more television festivals out there that are great opportunities for people of color, women, et cetera, who want to produce pilots or create pilots for new possible TV shows to get their work in front of an audience, both the public and also through network or programming service executives. Is Civic working with any of these festivals, whether it's New York or Series Fest coming up next month in Denver, or something like Kiki Millett's Omnicultural Festival from early this month? Has there any effort to try to reach out to these festivals, say, bring more people of color in, bring more people of all types of the omniculture movement together to do shows?
Not that I know of.
Might be an opportunity here.
Because it might be.
And we're talking about not just festivals like New York, but in New York's case, you have a bunch of these festivals now. You have Sterable coming up in June and July. You've got Norfolk in Long Island. You've got Tribeca's own TV festival, which will be in its third year this fall. So you have a lot of the new New York City TV festival that was put together last year. So it just seems that there's a lot of opportunity with these festivals going on around the country.
Well, and around the world, I mean, the big news out of Cannes was the number of women they had on their jury, the number of women directed films they had. You know, this is all, it's not just the content. Again, it's systemic, right? It's not just the content. It's the executives, it's the judges, it's all the people that are part of the selection process that also need to be having different points of view and not having a singular, monolithic, systemic point of view.
Before I let you go,
that's pressure on all those festivals.
Yeah. What excites you the most about where we're going in television in terms of opportunities that people are getting?
You know, I think that right now it is kind of the Wild West because there are so many different platforms and so many people asking for content. It's definitely a creator's market right now. And that's super exciting. I think it's, you know, the pendulum will eventually shift the other way. So don't know how long this era will last. But right now, especially people of, I mean, I know in my own work, just, you know, meeting people who have not necessarily been approached before and either hearing about or being able to facilitate introductions is super exciting. And then people are excited to meet with them. They're excited to meet people that are doing cool work that may be not recognized.
But are we at the point where maybe we are at the point of no return that we don't have to fear or we fear less the idea of going backward? Because you said a little bit of that just now, and I'm just wondering, maybe are we at the point or getting to the point where we won't have to worry about going backward?
Well, I don't actually think we'll go backward. I think what I mean the pendulum shifting is or swinging is really just about right now there's, you know, it is a creator's market because everybody's looking for new content. At a certain point, there will be a saturation and that will, and potentially some consolidation that will limit that. But I don't think we're going to go backward necessarily. I think the future is increasingly niche and micro communities and people really wanting to then, you know, be more insular in some ways to be more specialized. So you have all this difference that exists in the world, and there are people that have affinities and like-mindedness that are going to want to really speak to each other more intimately. So I think that, you know, you're already starting to see some of these things happen in other areas of culture where, you know, you have moms with kids who have autism being a very tight community, people with celiac disease being a very tight community. So these kinds of markers of difference can also be create a sense of belonging. So I think that I don't think we're going to go backwards to a place where difference isn't appreciated, but I think we'll go forward to a place where difference will just look different.
And two of those possibilities, I think, that will make ensure that. One is the possibility of blockchain and cryptocurrency, where we could impact the financing, the creation of shows involving people of color and other aspects of the omniculture movement, and also the continuing use of new technology in smart tech devices, such as 5G and who knows what else is going to pop up, and HSE 2.0. So the
accessibility of technology has really been, you know, largely responsible for the democratization of content because more people can have access to the tools and more people can have access to the content. So, yes, absolutely. I've never really understood Bitcoin, so I'm sorry, blockchain and Bitcoin. So one day I hope you'll explain that to me. Simon, I've tried hard.
We have been following this movement for a year and a half, and I know things have stalled a little bit, but I have a hunch that we may be at a point where things are going to start to progress. We're going to watch a number of different companies that are in the field, and we'll see if they start to put together shows that offer television and for movies also and other entertainment that are being funded through blockchain, through cryptocurrency, where you finance, you promote, and you're also able to distribute the programming in your own way. And anyway, that is for another day, but we will keep on the trail. If you want to know more about what Linda does, here's where you go online, www.civic-us.com. It's www.civic-us, that's the United States, .com. Linda is Chief Cultural Officer at Civic Entertainment Group. Linda, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much for the conversation. Let's keep at it down the road.
Thank you so much, Simon. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the week. Have a wonderful holiday weekend.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Linda Ong joining us from Civic Entertainment Group from New York this afternoon on Tomorrow We Televise. When we come back, we'll have our Classic Trivia Question of the Week, and I'll address the controversy over tonight's special presentation on ABC live from a studio audience. If you have an open mind, you might just like what's going to be happening. But first, we will pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. That's the voice of our friendly friends at Audible.com. It's www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR simulcast on Spreaker.com, and we're also present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. BTR is your home for True West Radio's Trends Day. Check it out tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's True West Radio's Trends Day right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. One of the controversial books that is out this week is from the distinguished and very unique commentator Mark Levin. You may know him from his work on The Blaze, also the Life, Liberty, and Levin series, Sunday night at 10 o'clock on the Fox News Channel. Well, he's got a brand new book out called Unfreedom of the Press, and it is winning raves. It's also winning controversy. And you can check it out for yourself and make up your own mind with a trial run at Audible.com. And Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 100,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. And there's a growing catalog of Audible originals. It's original material, especially for Audible.com. Original productions, off-Broadway, Broadway, and regional theater, plus one-woman and one-man shows. And you can get two Audible original books when you sign up for that 30-day, one-month trial. So all you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised, select those free audiobooks, one regular, two Audible originals, get that trial, and hear for yourself why Audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow We Televise on this special Wednesday edition. Coming your way on the 22nd of May, 2019. Simon Appleman with you live from New York. Happy Linda Ong joined us. We've had her on before, always terrific. And definitely we'll have her on again as we continue to track the diversity, or what you might now call the omnicultural TV movement. And we have a comment coming up. But first, it's time for our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. And if you're first with the correct answer, we have two book prizes in play for you. Gentleman Jack, The Real Analyst by Ann Schulman, based on the HBO critically acclaimed miniseries about that famous real-life person, Ann Lister, out of England. And we also have Delta-5 by the popular author Daniel Suarez. Here is the question. Name the town The Walking Dead's governor comes from. Name the town, that's the town, The Walking Dead's governor comes from. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, when you put the answer down and close your email, close your name and your full mailing address. So if you win the prizes, we can get them out to you as soon as we can. If you ask a question, we'll try to see if we can give it to you one more time before we go off the air. Or we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so, and all the very best. And now a comment. Ever since Sunday night, we have had a ton of answers, a ton of reaction, a ton of back and forth, pro and con, to Game of Thrones finale. A finale that was seen by nearly 20 million viewers live on HBO. But before we had all that water cooler talk, there was another batch of water cooler talk about something happening tonight on ABC at 8 p.m. Eastern time. It's live in front of a studio audience, where live, in a 90-minute special put together by Jimmy Kimmel, an all-star cast will recreate two classic episodes of two of the most popular and most unique groundbreaking television comedies of the 1970s, All in the Family and The Jeffersons. The cast includes such people as Ellie Kemper, Jamie Foxx, Marissa Tomei, Wanda Sykes, Woody Harrelson, Will Ferrell, Anthony Anderson, Sean Hayes, and a whole lot more. And the controversy really centers upon two things. One, why do it? Why revive two of the most popular series ever? In the case of All in the Family, one of the great groundbreaking series of all time. And do it with an all-star cast as opposed to unknowns, just like the originals were. I mean, when you saw All in the Family, nobody knew who Carol O'Connor, Gene Stapleton, or Rob Reiner was. You may have known the face of Carol O'Connor from countless movies and TV show episodes, or Gene Stapleton. And you certainly did it with the Jeffersons. You didn't know who Sherman Hemsley was, or Roxy Roker, or some of the other cast members. They became stars, though, through that program's successes. Well, I've had some interesting thoughts about it back and forth. And I'm willing tonight to give this show an open mind. And there's three reasons why. First of all, Norman Lear, the man who developed both All in the Family and the Jeffersons, is behind this. If he wasn't, probably would not pay too much heed to this. But because he is involved, I'll give him a shot. He would not be involved if he didn't think this thing could work. Secondly, Norman Lear has already proven that a reboot can work, all one day at a time. Three seasons on Netflix, marvelous show. In fact, Justine Machado, the star of One Day at a Time, who I hope will get an Emmy nomination this year, will be part of this event tonight. So the fact that an all-star cast involved is, I think, really good. Secondly, you can't do better in terms of directing a program like this than Jim Burrows, one of the geniuses of directing comedy series. He's done it time and time and time again, and I trust him. He's won 10 Emmy Awards, folks. You don't get 10 Emmy Awards if you're not good, if you don't do quality work. And James Burrows does the best quality work in a comedy around. And finally, I think it's kind of neat that stars like Ellie Kemper and Jamie Foxx and Will Ferrell and Woody Harrelson want to recreate these classic characters. I'd watch. I'd give it a try. You know, I think it's great that ABC is taking a gamble on live programming, on this kind of live programming. We've seen it with Dancing with the Stars. We've seen it with American Idol. We've seen it with The Voice. We've seen it with the musical theater specials. And when things really cook and everyone gets, you got one chance to do it. No second take, no do-overs. It's live. And in this case, it's live in front of a studio audience that is watching it while you're watching it. It's definitely worth the view. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that Jimmy and Norman Lear and everybody involved have got something good here. And I really invite you to keep an open mind to this. Yes, I know it's going to be easy to compare this with the original cast and how they performed. And then, oh, maybe it's not going to be as funny the second time around as the first time. But give it a try. I want to read your comment that Norman Lear gave to ABC about this. And it's this. They've said over and over again, they meaning critics, that these two shows were meant for the 70s and would not work today. We disagree with them and are here to prove with two great casts depicting All in the Family Jeffersons the timelessness of human nature. I cannot wait to see what these glorious performers make in our time of these indelible characters. And I couldn't be more grateful for Jimmy Kimmel, Sony, the production company, and ABC for their collaborative and collective willingness to conceive and pursue this never-been-done-before event. Norman, I take it your word. Let's give it a go. Live Before a Studio Audience premieres tonight at 8 p.m., delayed on the West Coast, on ABC. Check the openings for the ABC station in your area, and for more details about the program, abc.com. Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have the producer of an upcoming 30 for 30 episode dealing with Janet Guthrie, the first woman to qualify for the Indianapolis 500. What was the impact of that breakthrough, and where is she at now? That's the subject of Qualified. Producer Caroline Wardelow will be our lead guest. And also, Kiki Melendez, the entrepreneur behind the recent Omnicultural TV Festival with NAPI in Los Angeles. Then on Tuesday, remember, not on Monday, Tuesday, we'll have Philip Chang, the executive producer of the new Facebook Watch series, Family Style, and Shari Scora, who is Stage 13's vice president of Unscripted Development. Stage 13 from Warner Brothers made the series. And don't forget, one week from Friday, we'll have Mike Cully, the executive producer, showrunner, and writer of the new Netflix drama starring Renee Zellweger in her first major TV role, What/If, Mike Kelly. And Michelle Castillo, former CNBC correspondent and senior reporter for the popular business news service, Cheddar. We'll talk to her about where things are going in the world of smart TV sets, smart devices, digital television, and a whole lot more. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, we're available 24/7 on podcast, so check us out anytime you like at iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker's podcast app, and of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Just put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar at iHeartRadio.com, click it, and you're on. We love hearing from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, or do return emails in 24 hours. Remember, that's how you get involved in our Connectivity Question of the Week. One more time, the question, what was the name of the town that housed the governor character on The Walking Dead? Simonapple04, if you got the answer, you could be our next Classic Trivia winner. That's also how you get involved in our Show to Know segment. If there's a TV show you like deserves more attention, let us know with the email, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. You can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT. UBC Simon, TWBT. We love hearing from you because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate, BTR, is Candace Williams. AnyToast Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio, Al Levy, and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company and proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For three free audiobooks and a one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. But Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your midweek. We'll be back in less than 48 hours, our third episode of the week. That's Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Remember, whatever you're up to today, and until then, please make it safe and make it great. Until next time, stay well, and of course, stay tuned.